That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler to be disciplined, work hard, and be blessed, or to lay down and dream of better days, because my life is miserable. And I kind of made that up. It goes with Shakespeare's Hamlet. Prince Hamlet was saying, to be or not to be, that is the question. And he was contemplating life and possibly committing suicide because he felt that life was painful, it was unfair, and that maybe he would be better off dead. However, he thinks about the possibility of hell being a worse fate. And, you know, that's something that we all had to think about. And so do you ever feel that way? Have you felt that way before? I think everybody in here at some point in time probably has felt like that, just for a moment, if nothing else. Do you know somebody that feels like that right now? There's a lot of people walking around that we come into contact with every day, all day long, that they're done. I mean, you know, or they're just, you know, tired of trying to make it. Okay, before I go on, I'm sorry. There are notes. Believe it or not, I finally got around to doing notes. The ushers have them. If you'd like to take notes and you're that kind of person, go ahead and just raise your hand if you don't have them. And but feeling this way and having this feeling inside, this attitude of, you know, what is life all about anyway? Really, it's hard, it's tough, is it worth it? I mean, I work hard, and sometimes it seems like I'll gain some ground, and then I go back, and then, you know, it's a struggle. And but having this disposition in life really breaks God's heart. It breaks God's heart, and that's all there is to it. And I'm just here to tell you today, that's what my message is that God sent Jesus, his goal in coming to the earth, to live, to die, to suffer, and then to be raised again, was to save us. Have y'all heard, you know, Jesus saves. You see there, Jesus saves. Well, he wants to save us because we need saving. How many knows that's the case? And he wanted to empower us to become his children. And I know most of us know this in here today. And to some degree, I hope that, you know, if you already know this and you're connected to God and you're connected to what He to his love and his plan for your life, then great. You know, maybe this will just be an encouragement to you. But there may be somebody in here today that really needs to hear this. It's going to change their life from this day onward and make life worth living. And that's what this, I hope and pray that this message will do for someone in here today. So that word salvation in the Greek word for it is soteria, which means to rescue, to provide safety and deliverance. And that's what God's desire is for us, every single one of us, everybody in the whole world. He wants to be there for us. But it's his intention to take care of us and to bless us. He loves us. He is the King of Kings. The Bible says he's the King. He created the worlds. He created the universe. He's the King of all kings. And if you're a child of the King, then don't you think your life should be a pretty good life? Think about it. And so he wants to take care of us, but we have to let him. So let's go to John 10:10. This is a scripture that I'm constantly talking about, constantly thinking about, because I think a lot of Christians and people in the world in general have these weird, you know, perception of God and who he is and what he's all about and what he thinks about. Sometimes people think, oh, he's way up there if they do believe in him, you know, and he doesn't care about me. I'm a spot, you know, in the universe at most. We had some biology this last semester, and it's like, wow, the universe, you know, it's unbelievable. But anyway, that's a whole message in itself. And John 10:10 says, Jesus said, actually, the thief, who we know to be the devil, the evil one, comes only in order to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came that they, people, might have and enjoy life in abundance. In abundance. That's what he wants to do. Let's go to the note one and fill in the blank there. And it says, Jesus came to give us a joyful and an abundant life. On your notes, Jesus came to give us a joyful and an abundant life. I thought we had that on the PowerPoint, but we don't somehow. Okay. And so anyway, the Greek word for abundance, because it's important to kind of know, you know, the Greek is so detailed. So it's important to go back and look at the original translation of what the writers really wanted us to know. And so I like to look back at that, and I actually use a Strong's Concordance for that, or you can Google it. But that Greek word for abundance is to have a superior, superabundant, advantageous, above, more, beyond measure, and prosperous life. Think about that. Let that soak in. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Not only did Jesus come to give us eternal life, he came to give us a blessed life right now. And I'm going to try to prove that to you this morning. Think about your life. Are you living in abundance in every area of your life? Well, none of us are, you know, have a perfect life. That's true. But you might ask, how can I have this abundant life? Well, to have the blessed and abundant life Jesus came to give us, we have to align ourselves with certain things. Like before, you know, I got accepted to UF. Yay, praise the Lord. I'll be there in fall, God willing. But I'm at Santa Fe taking my last algebra class. Most everybody in here knows I have struggled with algebra. Actually, I have a friend here from my algebra class this morning. We had biology together, too. But it's not easy, and oh, my goodness, I'm just like, wow. But before I can move forward, it's pending. I make a certain grade in this class. It's a prerequisite. It's like, you got to do this before you can go on to this. And there's some things that the Lord's telling us. You got to do this before you can go to this next level. That's just the way it is. And you can't get around it. There's no getting around it. You've got to go that way to get to the blessed life. And I know that when I first became a Christian at age 22, way, way, way back in the day, my life was a mess. I'll tell you, it was just a mess. I was miserable. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that later. But I came to the Lord and said, you know, I give up. Take me from here. And over the past close to 40 years, I have just been seeking God and doing these things, these three basic things, to try to align myself to get from this level to the next level to the next level, to not only be blessed, but just to get to know God. That's what it's all about. That's your priority, to get to know God, and then the blessings are the icing on the cake. Okay, so we look to God's word, we find the answer so we can experience this abundant life, and all this what I'm sharing this morning is kind of like skim milk. You know, you kind of get the taste, but you know, there's a lot more to it. And I just have to kind of just throw it out there, and then it's going to be up to you to take it to the next level. So let's look at the second answer in the notes, and I don't know why we don't have the notes, but anyway, it's up to us. It's up to me to receive this abundant life. Is it up to your boss to help you have an abundant life? Is it up to your mate? No. Is it up to the government? No. It's not up to anybody but me. No matter what situation I'm in, no matter what I'm faced with, I just have to count my blessings I've found, and then I just have to ask God, what do I need to do at this point to find myself getting closer to the abundant, the blessings that you have for me? You know, it doesn't matter if you're a woman, a child, a teenager, 89 years old. There's always a way that God has for us to get from this point to the next, which is going to be from the Bible. There's the scripture that says we go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and from strength to strength. How many people know that, you know, we need strength? We need more strength. I need strength today, but I'm going to need more strength Thursday when I take that quiz, that test. And I need strength in the meantime, and I need more strength next week for something else. You know, we're always needing more of what the Lord has for us, and it's infinite. It's an infinite amount of things that God has for us. He's just perfect. He has everything, and he's infinite, and he's just amazing. And you find that out when you begin to taste of it, and you get more, and you see him interacting with your life, and he becomes real to you. Your relationship is real. It's not just a religious thing. You're not trying to be a good person. You're just trying to get to know God, God who loves us, and God who created us, and God who made us and has great intentions for us. Amen? So there are three keys prerequisites that we need to apply in our life to receive the Lord's abundance. In your notes, the fill-in is the three keys for access to this abundant life is have faith is number one. Number two is have wisdom. And number three is to be committed. Committed to it. So first of all, what is faith? It's essentially embracing God's will for our life before we even see it manifested. You have to come to God and say, you know, God, I believe that you created me, you are the king of the universe, so I need to embrace the future that you have for me. So take me from here. Take me from here. I'll do whatever it takes. It's belief in him and trusting in him that what he says is true. How many times have I, probably you have too, read something in the Bible or heard something from a preacher, and in my head I kind of believed it, but when it actually came to applying it to my life, it was like I was afraid to, or I didn't think I should, or I chose another option. Have you done that? I mean, we do it all the time. It's because of our level of fear or our level of self-sufficiency and a combination of things. But we have to say, you know, I'm going to embrace you, Lord. I'm going to embrace everything you want from me, because I'm going to trust that you have my best interests in mind. And number four on those notes, faith is embracing God's promised blessings so that we can experience them. We're not going to experience them until we embrace and move forward on them. Okay? It's Hebrews 11:1. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you can look in Hebrews and read all about faith. It'll give you a good overview of it. And I don't have time to go into it today, but it's all about, you know, just believing in God and taking his promises. The Bible speaks about God's promises to his people, and he wants us to know about them. And we have to know what they are, that before they're even going to ever belong to us, before they're ever manifest in our life. I've told this story before. Bill's told, you know, everybody's probably heard this story just about, but there might be one or two people that haven't. And it really makes my point clear, I think. Have you heard about the guy, the young man? He was a poor country guy. And he'd never done anything in his life, but somebody gave him a ticket for a cruise. And, of course, we all know that the cruise tickets are all, you know, encompass everything, the food and everything. And so, but anyway, he didn't know that. And so he packed his backpack full of crackers and beanie weenies. I don't know how true this story is, but anyway, it makes a point. And stuff, you know, to eat on that ship, because he knew his ticket was covered, but he didn't know the food was covered. And so he had befriended this old couple on the ship, and they were like, well, we never see you in the dining room, you know, what are you doing? I mean, you're looking kind of skinny now after a week, not eating much, right? You're not eating? Or, I mean, what are you doing? He said, well, I couldn't afford to buy the food on this trip because this friend gave me a ticket, just a ticket, you know, I was happy to come. And so I put some crackers and stuff in my backpack, and they said, oh my gosh, your ticket covers the food. You can have anything you want, anytime, day or night on this ship. And it's like, oh my gosh. So anyway, that's the way it is, I think, for a lot of Christians. We have so much. God has done so much through the death and the crucifixion and the resurrection of the cross. There was a reason for all. There were lots of reasons for all of that. To bless us. That's what he came to do for us. Amen. So if we know, then we can receive them. If we don't know, which happens a lot of times, we don't ever get to receive them. And therefore, our life is really not as blessed as it could be. So faith says that we believe and we're looking for God's provision. And so number five is faith is expectation. What are you expecting in your life? You know, kind of just, you know, do people put it in your head what to expect for yourself, your parents, your friends, your teachers, people like that? I mean, just the circumstances in your life. Some people say, well, you know, that's just my luck. You know, something bad happens all the time. And, you know, things like that have to change if you're going to receive the blessings of the Lord. You got to get your mind renewed. You got to get your brain washed, you know, with God's word, where he tells us, you know, I provide for you. I want you to have an abundant life. I want you to have everything you need. And I want you to be healed, as Bill was talking about earlier, and all these things. And if you don't know that, you're just going to think, well, you know, I'm struggling here and I'm having a hard time in life and I'm sick. And, you know, where's God in this situation? You know, people get mad at God. But they don't realize that that's not God's will, you know, ever God's will. for us to have an awful life. It's always God's will for us to be blessed. And so we just have to find out from God, and that's where our relationship is dynamic with God. Every day. What's going on? You know, we're facing a situation. We're facing adversity. We're facing a difficulty, or we're facing a challenge, or we're even facing a situation where we find ourselves in our life just kind of floating. But we want to go to the next level. That's kind of how I felt, you know, before I started back to school a couple years ago. I just felt like I was floating. I just began to feel this restlessness inside. Lord, you know, what's going on? I was doing leadership training here and a lot of ministry for years and everything, but I just got to the point in my life where I was like, you know, what's going on? And I love leadership training. I had the Master School of Leadership. That was probably the most enjoyable thing I've ever done in my life. But the Lord wanted to take me to the next level with this, and that's when he spoke to me. I want you to go get your degree at UF in Leadership and Communications. And it has changed my life. I am so much better off for that. I've been challenged in areas where I was weak. I'm continuing to be challenged. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm going from here to there. You know, I'm just getting better all the time. I'm learning how to depend upon God more than I ever have before, and I'm seeing him come through for me. Tell you the God honest truth more than I've ever experienced it in my life, and I'm really content. You know, even though it's hard, it's doable. Even though it's stressful, it's not the kind of stress that I used to deal with before I was, you know, when I was dealing with stress before I started going back to school. It's a different kind of stress. It's like, okay, I've got a test, I got to study, I've got to do this, I got to do that. I got to get from A to B. God help me. I do what I can, and he always comes through. And I'm going to be humble and tell y'all this situation, what happened to me in college, an intermediate algebra last semester. I told a few people, but I'm going to tell everybody because I have to give God all the glory. I struggled so hard. That class was so bam, 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 bam. I felt like I was getting hit with a machine gun every time I went to class. Whoa. And I've never been strong in math. So I was dealing with that. I was dealing with a hard class. I was dealing with trying to do biology too and all this stuff. And I was like, wow. And so I did really good on my homework and my quizzes, but when I test, I would freak out. And I failed failing's like below a 70, like a 68 or something, all three tests for the semester. I was always up here every Sunday. Help me, pray for me. I don't know what. And I was like, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. I don't understand what's going on. This is not the abundant life. I felt like the Lord said, just keep doing the best you can. And just hang in there. So I did, but I wasn't about to get myself all freaked out over it, you know, trying not to. And so, make a long story short, I got to take these other tests to make up for the ones I failed, and I passed them because I got extra time, I got to be by myself, and I found that I would get anxious when I would go in there. And so the Lord, actually, I got to talk to the head of the math department. She said, go see this counselor, and they'll help you because the guy told me when we get anxious, when we get nervous, it cuts that recall off. And that's why I would look at my paper, and I would just blank out. And I'm thinking, God, help me. What's going on? Have you called me to do this or not? You know, I was hoping to be successful and prosper. Well, I ended up being successful. I ended up prospering in that class. And I have to give God all the glory. I was going to graduate. I graduated Friday night. But that morning, I was looking at my grades. I'm like, yay, I got a C. I passed. You know, I can go to college algebra. That's all it took. C's, you know, take you there. And so, I was praying and reading my Bible like I always do in the mornings. And I just felt like God's put in my heart, look at your degree audit. Look at your degree audit. Look at your degree audit. That's different than my grades. Went over to the computer and opened it up, and there was a D. And I would not be able to qualify for college algebra if I have a D. What in the world? So my teacher was going to Spain. I was emailing her because I had graduation that night. I thought, I'm going to fake graduate, you know? So, because I was always set to march in it. And I didn't hear back from her, Bill and I were scheduled to take our vacation starting on Monday. I was like, oh, jeez. I had taken this class three times. I had withdrawn twice before. You can only take it three times. I'm like, what am I going to do? This throws a whole new issue into everything here, because I thought, am I going to have to enroll in Santa Fe, in the college in Ocala and take it again? You know, it was a long story. I was already accepted UF. So I just said, Lord, you know, I'm just going to trust that you're going to help me on this, and it is what it is. If I have to take it again, I'll take it again. Excuse me. So Sunday night before our vacation, I get an email from my teacher. She goes, go see Katie, the head of the math department. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm like, I was heading to St. Augustine tomorrow morning. Okay, whatever. And so Bill, take the boat, go on. I'm going to go to Santa Fe, and I'll meet you over there. So I went up there, and she said, I want you to talk to Katie, the head of the math department. I told her your case, that you worked so hard, because I've practically lived in that lab, and it didn't seem to help me when it came to the test. And I also had failed the final, so I'm just like, oh, geez, what am I going to do here? And so I went in there, and she said, we're going to let you take the final again. I know. It was a miracle. Trust me, nobody gets to do that. I was like, wow, okay. She goes, come back tomorrow morning. You come back tomorrow morning? I said, anything. So I get over to the beach. I'm helping Bill with the boat because he didn't feel good. I'm wore out. Didn't even get to crack my books. Didn't even bring my homework, my stuff to refresh myself. And I was just thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm just going to go back over there all the way to Gainesville again and back to the beach just to fail that test again, that final again. And the Lord just imparted to me wisdom. That's the way he does. It's just like it comes to you, you know, do this. So I said, I emailed her. I said, can I just come Wednesday? And I thought in the back of my head, I've got to study. You know, I'm going to go home, study, meet with a tutor. Sure. Open doors. It was just like open door after open door after open door. So that next day I came home. I thought, this is my second day of my vacation. Okay. I came home, met with my tutor for 2 hours of Panera Bread that night, stayed here, got up, went, took 3 hours. And I walked, and every question has like three parts. Punched the button, turned it in, 68. I had been doing good till then. I got my papers, and I walked over to her office, and I said, failed it again. She said, go out into the sunshine for 15 minutes. I'm going to see what we can do. So because every question has three or four parts, my teacher would normally look to see if I got parts right, and she wasn't there. She was on her way to Spain. She goes, I'll get somebody to look at that, and we'll see what we can do. I'll go back in. And I was thinking out there, oh, Lord. And I started getting negative. And I thought, no, I got to believe God. I called my daughter, Christine. She's like, yeah, I believe God. You know, don't worry. It's all going to work out. And that's why we need each other, right? We need to encourage each other and to trust God, and everything's going to work out. When I went back in there, she turned the screen around. She goes, well, look, you passed. I was like, oh. I said, but what if I fail college algebra this summer? I guess I can take it in the fall again. She said, I said, these people have more faith than I have, I'll tell you. So I said, okay. I said, I'm going to just believe God and do everything I can and just be positive. And now I'm doing really good, and I'm really excited. I love college hours much, much easier, and God's taking me to the next level. But my point to share all that with you is, you know, when you're believing God to live in abundance, to go forward, and you know, you're going to have setbacks. It's not going to be easy sometimes, but you've got to keep thinking about where you're going. Keep your eyes on the light at the end of that tunnel, because you're going to get in tunnels sometimes, and just keep moving forward. That's what faith is, right? And so there's two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom from God, wisdom from above. That's in James 3. You can look that up later. Or there's demonic wisdom, wisdom from the devil, you know, the worldly wisdom. It's like a wisdom apart from God. And we need the wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom in the world, but we need it under the umbrella of, you know, God's will for our life. Amen. And so the third point is to be committed, to be like a bulldog. What is that saying? Or like a turtle, you know, snapping turtle, like a bulldog on a bone or something. I don't know those sayings. But anyway, and you just have to be determined. You have to persevere, and I call that intentionality. That's kind of a new word, but it's just basically being intentional, just doing it, just staying with it. Let's see. In the New World Dictionary, it says that it is directedness of one's will and deliberate mental state and acts. You just got to make up your mind. And you've just got to go forward, and God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Let's see. I'm going to try to skip ahead because I'm running out of time. One thing about it, if I go to the Lord, He always has the best case scenario for me. He will always have the best case scenario for us, because we're going to be in situations where it's not in black and white in that Bible, right? And we got to go, what am I supposed to do in this situation? And if you're continually cultivating a relationship with God on a daily basis, it becomes easier and easier and easier. So no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're facing, no matter if it's financial or emotional or mental or physical, whatever it is, you know, God is providing everything for us. And so I want to encourage you to take a good look at yourself this morning, a good look at your life. Are you in abundance? Do you feel like you're in abundance? You lack? Because an antonym for abundance is lack. The opposite of abundance is lack. Where do you lack in your life today? That's something I do all the time. I'm thinking, I'm lacking in this area of my life, Lord. What do I need to do here? And the Lord will always come through, because He loves us so much, and He paid a big price for us to have that abundant life. You know, because you're going to have people in your life, like a roommate or a mate or a boss or something like that. It's going to be a difficult situation. And so the way that you respond to it is how you're going to continue moving forward into that abundant life that He has for you, right? Because we can't control other people. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And so you can't make people conform to the way that you want them to do things. Nobody. So you got to conform yourself, right? And when I was about 14, I just really went through a difficult time in my life. My parents were getting a divorce. There was a lot of peer pressure, and I was really just struggling. And I just felt like at times I went through this place where I told my mother, I just want to be a molecule. I don't want to be responsible for my eternal life. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to have to do what you have to do to go to heaven either. You know, why do I have to? I don't even want to be alive. Actually, I was a little tempted to be suicidal, but the way that I coped with that situation was that I just decided to live to have fun. So I proceeded on that journey. At that point, I'm like, I'm just going to have fun in life. Good grief. And so I just kind of moved more and more into a self-centered lifestyle at that point. But when I was about 22, I got to the point where I realized, you know, this is an empty lifestyle. This is misery. I got to the end of myself, and that's when I said, you know, God, I give up. I want what you want for me. I knew all the time deep down that God had plans for me, but I was just resisting because I didn't want to have to do what, because in my mind, it looked like a life of misery. I kind of felt like Prince Hamlet. Life is painful. Life is just unfair. I'm miserable. You know, I want to do this, but then you got these consequences, you know, and, you know, I want to have fun doing that, and it's, you know, I'll probably get myself put in jail or something. I don't know. And so I struggled. But when I finally came to the end of myself, I said, God, I give up. I want to save my life. I want what you have for me. I don't care what it is at this point. I give up. That's when I got born again. That's when I became a Christian. I said, my whole desires, my whole approach to life, everything changed. Because I always saw Christianity as just being a good goody-goody, you know, or, you know, being restrictive and making yourself read your Bible and pray. And the different thing is, when you become born again, you begin to desire to read your Bible. You want to read it. You want to know what's in there. I mean, it's just like your whole desires change. And so you protect that and guard that as you walk with Him. And that's been almost 40 years ago. Yeah, it has been 40 years ago. So anyway, I want all of us just to close our eyes right now and just to think about the Lord and His plan for our life. And I want to pray that, I want you everybody to pray with me, if you will. There's going to be some people on here that want to pray this prayer. It's important that the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and if you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And I think there's somebody in here, there's people in here maybe today that need this. So you say, oh, wow, I'm not there. I want the Lord. I want the abundant life He has for me. So I wanted y'all to pray this prayer with me, everybody, whether you've prayed it before, you can even refresh yourself, but mean it. That's where the rubber hits the road. You got to mean it. Say with me now, Father in heaven, I surrender to you. I believe that you are calling me to a life of blessing. I ask you to forgive me for thinking more highly of myself than I should. I thank you for your love. I thank you for what Jesus did for me. And now I'm going to embrace you. And I thank you that you're going to embrace me, that you have a plan for my life. From this moment on, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. And I'm going to glorify you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Give Rebecca a hand for that message. I think that was a great message.